Welcome to this evening's Lenten service. Our Vespers service will be found beginning on page 120, where you will find the Confession of Sin. And please follow the order of service as you see indicated on the sheet that was handed to you as you entered the sanctuary provided for you. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name.
The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For
continue our reading this evening from the Passion History of our Lord, as recorded in the 27th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, This man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, After 3 days I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, He has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Here ends the reading of our Lord's Passion History.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
A portion of Scripture for consideration this evening is recorded in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 15. We read verses 17 through 21. I invite you to stand for the reading of this lesson. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Dear Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are the truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. No one helps him. Under the weight of the cross, Jesus stumbles and falls. His blood marks the ground. How can this be? The Creator of the world falls under the weight of a wooden cross? Our lesson for this evening demonstrates to us that Jesus was indeed a true man. And therefore, he was subject to the physical limitations of a real man. Just think about it. This mocking and beating that we read of, that Jesus suffered at the hands of the soldiers, this occurred after he had been flogged with the Roman scourging, the half-death, so named because so many people died just from that flogging. This happened after that. And then they made him carry the cross out to Golgotha. At this point, Jesus was severely dehydrated from the loss of blood. And so, therefore, as any real man would do, he stumbles to the ground. No one helps him. Where were all those people that Jesus had healed? The deaf and the blind? Where is Jairus? Where is the young man from Nain? Where are all those people, those thousands of people that he fed? Where are his disciples? Where are his relatives? No one helps him. The soldiers force someone to carry the cross. Now, let's be clear here. They do not do this out of some kind of kindness for Jesus. They don't do this to help him. Rather, they were just getting the job done. It was quite clear that he was not in any condition to be able to make it out to the hill carrying that cross. And they just needed to keep things moving. Simon of Cyrene, he doesn't carry the cross in order to help Jesus. No, he was drafted to do it. No one helps him. Why doesn't Jesus help himself here? Just for a little bit. Why doesn't Jesus just use a smidgen of his divine power? He could have picked up that wooden cross like as if it was a toothpick. He could have stood upright and he could have walked with a little bit of dignity, still being crucified, but to have a little bit of dignity if he would have just used a little power from his divine nature. No one helps him, and he doesn't even help himself. This is hard for us to understand, but that is his glory. That is his glory. It's not a ritzy, dazzling kind of glory. No, this is very different. This is a hidden glory. Jesus' glory is that he wants you to know his love for you. His glory is that he wants you to know that the price that he pays for your salvation is the full price, the whole price, not some discounted price. This isn't just a mere deposit on your salvation. This isn't some after Thanksgiving sale price, but the full price, so that you can have full confidence in your salvation and no doubts. That is his glory. You see, the suffering that was prescribed in the Garden of Eden as a result of that first and very real sin, that suffering that was prescribed was real. And therefore, the suffering of the one who would be the substitute for sinners would also have to be real. Jesus is not a pretend man. And his suffering is not a pretend suffering. He stumbles as a real man under the weight of the cross. His blood is on the pavement. His suffering is real. It's important for you and I to note that Jesus stumbled physically. He did not stumble morally or spiritually. For example, Jesus did not mutter under his breath a curse upon those soldiers as they beat him. Jesus never once did he retaliate against his enemies. No. As Isaiah the prophet had said hundreds of years earlier, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Unlike Jesus stumbling, our stumbling is moral. Our stumbling is spiritual. We stumble under the weight of temptation. Instead of using his help to resist, we give in to stumbling. In fact, we often indulge our weaknesses. We enjoy stumbling. We enjoy the feel of the fall. Oh, how good that sin feels. And only for a little while, mind you. We don't want this to be a long-term fall. Just a little greed. Just a little bit of getting even. Just a little gossip. A little lie. I'll think about something dirty just for a little while. I'll toy with a grudge, nurse it and feed it, only for a small while. Oh, how good it feels just for a moment not to serve, not to have to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, but to serve and obey me. And so we stumble through our own fault and we fall. Then the pain comes. Strange how what once felt so good now stings so bad. There, lying on the ground in our pain and in our shame, we feel not only the kick of the consequences of our sin, but we also feel the sharp kick of our conscience, and then the sharp kick of those around us who expected better from us. And we feel shame. But tonight, we open our eyes, and by God's grace, there on the ground, we see that we are eye to eye with our Savior. Your Savior, who stumbled and fell to the ground in order to pick you up. In his bruised yet faultless body, he takes your shame and your guilt. He takes the suffering that you and I deserved and the punishment. In love for you, he picks you up so that you can begin your journey to the cross again. With the waters of baptism, he washes the grit and the dirt out of your wounds, and he washes you completely clean. He gives you a drink to spiritually hydrate you, the wine of his blood. And he gives you food to strengthen you, the bread of his body. And so you stand, renewed and regenerated. Follow him to the cross until you hear his triumphant cry, "It is finished." And then follow to the empty tomb and join with joy in crying out with those who are there, "He is risen." Amen.
and with your whole church. Abide with us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit.